The uniform said bellhop, and the sprinkle of freckles plus Barn Cowlick said all-American boy. But the shifty eyes and the narrow mouth that slid over to the side of his face when he talked said something else, like racetrack tout.
Welcome to an eargasmic edition of the U.S. Racing Show. I am your friendly host, Derek Simon, and this is the show where we talk about everything and anything related to the sport of kings and to sports gambling. Now, you may have noticed the name of the program has changed. That's because I want to focus more on horse racing, which is my great love and passion. Plus, we're getting close to the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown Series, but we'll still have some sports betting stuff as well. Before we get to any of today's great program, there are a few things that you need to know.
I'm looking forward to completing your training. In time, you will call me Master.
Alrighty then. I learn it from a book.
I find this scientifically fascinating.
You're gonna remember this the rest of your life.
Oh, I already knew that.
I don't get it.
What part didn't you understand?
Will you never learn?
Help you, I can. Yes.
Now, a few weeks ago, I wrote about grading the Kentucky Derby preps. Maybe it was last week. Time just flies when you're having fun. But I talked about the fact that horses that win the Kentucky Derby generally come out of decent preps. And the best way to judge whether a prep was decent or not is to look at the specific field. You know, looking at a certain stakes race and saying, well, that race has produced X number of Derby winners, therefore it's a good race, doesn't work. I've used the Wood Memorial as an example. There were a few years there where it was terrible. Some of the horses coming out of there you've never heard of. There used to be the Flamingo Stakes at Hialeah. It is no longer. That was a decent prep. The Florida Derby, which has been a great Derby prep, has not always been the final prep before the Derby. That is a recent change. So, these races are dynamic. The Arkansas Derby has absolutely become a key race, whereas it used to not be. Really, Sonny's Halo kind of broke a long losing streak in that race when he won the Kentucky Derby back in, what, 1983, I think it was. So, grading these preps each year, I think, is what is important. The Gotham this year got an F. Now, when we talk about Kentucky Derby winners and the grades of the prep, I'm looking at the final prep race. The Gotham is not going to be the final prep race for most of these horses, but it doesn't bode well. So let's listen to the 2016 Gotham, then I've got a few comments on it.
As they hit the top of the stretch, Lauban trying to see it out, turning for home in front. Sunny Ridge on the outside to the attack. Shagoff swings wide for the stretch drive two. Adventus is coming down the center of the track as well. 1 furlong left. Lauban down inside, narrow lead. Sunny Ridge fights on. Shagoff keeps on grinding away. So to Adventus on the far outside. 16th to go. Lauban's trying to see it out. 16th left. Here comes Shagoff with a final surge. A final surge to win the Gotham. Shagoff the winner, Lauban was second, Adventus was third, and Sunny Ridge was fourth.
Now, it should be noted that the Gotham has not turned out a single Derby winner. There have been some horses that have performed well in the Derby. Easy Goer immediately comes to mind. On the positive side, Shagoff earned a 110 Equibase speed figure. That is the highest since I Want Revenge in 2009. And I Want Revenge, of course, did not run in the Derby. He got injured shortly before the Kentucky Derby, didn't run. But he would certainly, or would have certainly been, a favorite. So that's one of the positives. The other positive is that the pace was pretty fast. Very close to what you would see in the Kentucky Derby. In fact, probably a little bit faster. A minus 12 early speed ration. Of course, the early speed ration is my measurement of early energy disbursement. It's not necessarily speed, but the par for the Kentucky Derby, I've been saying minus 10. I actually redid the figures, and I made note of the fact that horses are getting slower. So the par now, at least slower in terms of early speed, the par now a minus 9. So minus 12, about 3 lengths faster, and Shagoff himself earned a minus 10. So that part is great. The LSR, that's the late speed ration, that's a measurement of late energy disbursement. And whereas the ESR, the lower the figure, the better. The LSR, it's the higher the figure, the better, a minus 14. Now, minus 15 is considered poor, and there's been one horse that earned a minus 15 LSR in his last race since 1997, that has won the Kentucky Derby. That was Mind That Bird, and Mind That Bird had the best race ESR, last race ESR, going into the Derby. Then again, because this is energy, it's the way you disperse that energy that matters. But the late figure, if you don't have the fast early figure, not a good sign at all. So Shugoff at least does have a decent ESR, or earned a decent ESR in the Gotham. But the minus 14 LSR is terrible. It is the worst thus far in 2016 amongst the graded Kentucky Derby preps. By a long shot, by about five lengths. So you couple that with the F grading, only one other Derby prep, graded Derby prep thus far, has earned an F, and that was the Holy Bull. So, not a great performance by Shugoff, at least I didn't think so. Now, turning away from the Triple Crown series, Gulfstream Park had the Gulfstream Park Handicap, and it was a very eventful race.
Three quarters in 109 and one. They're into the stretch. Stanford and Anchor Down. Valid comes up after them on the outside. At the rail, Blofeld is fourth. It's a knockout. It's fifth. Oh, a bad step there for Valid in mid-stretch. Valid stumbled. They're coming to the wire. Stanford, Blofeld, Anchor Down. Down to the finish. It is very close on the wire. Two horses right together at the finish of the Gulfstream Park Handicap. Blofelder Stanford at the end of the race in a final time of 1 minute 35.03 seconds.
So Blofeld won the race in a photo finish. Here's the amazing thing. Blofeld, I mean, who's ever heard of Blofeld? Not exactly a household name. The Equibase speed figure of 122 was the highest since 1992. And with a lot of these speed figures, they change the algorithm. This certainly happened with the Trackmaster figures. In fact, I forget the year, but they went with a different rating system. I have almost no doubt that Equibase has done the same thing. So I don't know if you can even compare the figure from 1992 to now. But when you think about some of the horses that have won the Gulfstream Park Handicap, this is very impressive. Honor Code, last year, a 107. Mucho Macho Man. Just going through the list here. We've got Hal's Hope, Skip Away, Cigar, and Blofeld ran faster than all of them. Pace figures, not bad. A minus 9 ESR for the pace setter, a minus 10 LSR. That's average, but again, this is a mile race. It kind of stresses speed. Next, we come to the Santa Isabel. This was run on Saturday. It featured the dominant Songbird.
Songbird turning for home by six lengths and still being cuddled by Mike Smith. Jade Princess second being joined on the outside by Land Oversea, but he hasn't breathed on the undefeated champion, the filly. Songbird past the eighth pole by a half dozen lengths. Land Oversea is second. She's giving game but fruitless pursuit. It's all Songbird. She's got them beaten to a frazzle. How'd you like to earn 60 grand as easily as this? Songbird wins by, well, whatever she felt like. Second home in the race, Land Oversea from Mocat and Jade Princess.
Michael Rona on the race call, continuing the musical chairs of racing announcers at Santa Anita Park. It was a good race by Songbird. A 105 Equibase speed figure. That is the fastest since Sharp Cat. Sharp Cat, a very, very good horse. So a pretty good speed figure. I am a little concerned. The ESR was a minus 12. That's fantastic. And it really does put Catherine Sophia in a bit of a jam when these horses face each other, as they presumably will in the Kentucky Oaks, in that to stay close, Catherine Sophia is going to have to run much faster than she's been accustomed to. On the other hand, Churchill Downs has always played a little bit more to closers. It's not a pure speed-favoring track like Santa Anita, like Gulfstream Park. So I don't think Songbird can post those kinds of fractions and win in Kentucky. The other thing I don't like is the minus 13 LSR. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Derek, if you watch that race, Songbird was completely geared down. Mike Smith, the jockey, is looking at the infield tote board, actually the big screen, the Jumbotron, you know, to see where the other horses were. He never moved a muscle. Clearly, this horse was geared down. Got it. But I've got to stress, as I have in the past, that I think handicappers put too much emphasis on the geared down aspect. And you'll hear things like, well, that horse could have won by 10 lengths. That horse could have won by 30 lengths if they'd let it go. Well, Secretariat wasn't exactly being scrubbed on in the Belmont Stakes, and he came home very, very fast. The perfect example, in my mind, is Spectacular Bid in the Woodward, his final race, the final race of Spectacular Bid's career. It was a walkover. There were no horses that were competing. Spectacular Bid ran a mile and a quarter in 202 and change with a plus one LSR. So about 14 lengths faster, and nobody was around this horse. It was a gallop. Now, granted, Spectacular Bid went much, much slower early. So he continued at a steady pace. But I just don't like to see this. I would have loved to have seen Songbird come home a little bit faster than this. But we shall see. I mean, everything else looks good. The speed figure is good. Obviously, that ESR is very, very strong. Now, I want to unveil a new segment on the show today. And I actually thought about this several years ago, looking at some of the commentary about sports. You know, you go to forums and stuff like that, and you read some of the craziest stuff. And I kind of looked at it like, well, what if this was serious? What if we looked at a forum and we thought to ourselves, you know, this is a sports writer giving his opinion. So I just want to give some of the opinions of race fans out there in a new segment that I call the They Said It segment.
Well, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as always, this stuff in lieu of actual entertainment.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
I'm listening.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't.
Poor misguided freak.
Are you cracking wise? I ought to punch you in the nose, hopscotch.
Perhaps you should deactivate your emotion chip for now.
Humor! I love it! Whee!
All right, so I just gathered some opinions that I saw on the internet about racing and about racetrack personalities, and I thought I would just present them here as serious commentary. Now, I'm not going to identify any of the people who said this. In fact, there's a few of my Facebook friends that made this list, but some of the comments are just, it's just funny to me. Here's the first one. Johnny V is like the worst rider on the planet. Can this jerk hang it up already? Of course, talking about Johnny Velasquez. So if Johnny V is the worst rider on the planet, imagine what some of these riders are. I mean, apparently they don't even qualify as being part of the planet. Now, here's one, and I don't know whether I should even mention this because it's a little bit psychotic. But at the same time, well, let me just read it and you can make your own or draw your own judgments from it. This is a guy who wants to audition as a race caller. Look, I've tried to apply and audition for the job, and my family said no. The reason is that I was making death threats to announcers like Michael Rona and Miramonte. Also, other announcers who are responsible for stealing Trevor Denman's Santa Anita announcing position. All capitalized. If I show up at Santa Anita, I might get arrested by the police. My family also said, just wait for a few years, even after I graduate from the university, and I can apply for the job as the next horse racing announcer from Santa Anita. If Larry Comas, planning to steal my Santa Anita announcing position, I want him to know that I am the one who is capable of continuing Trevor's legacy, and stealing my position means stealing Trevor's position. I will kill Larry Comas for stealing my announcing position. Now, again, I don't want to make light. This is a death threat here. I don't want to make light of this. But I would tell this guy that you're taking this way too seriously. And you graduating from university is less important than you seeking some help for some issues that you have. You know, again, I don't know. We have gotten to a point in society where we throw out words like, I'm going to kill this person, or I'm going to, you know, it's just this violent rhetoric as though it's nothing. So I can't say that any of this is serious, but I can't say it's not either. I would say, as I just did, that you are taking this way, way, way too seriously. And it's one of the reasons that I have a problem with forms, because, of course, this guy doesn't have his name attached to this. Just some empty icon and some made-up name. And then you start throwing stuff out there like that. Anyway, I'm going to come right back. I didn't even announce who I've got on the show today. Some great guests on the show. First of all, we've got Casey Lauder. Now, Casey has written for U.S. Racing. She writes for Lady at the Track. And so I sat down and talked to her recently. Also, Gwen Crosser. Now, you might not recognize that name, but she sent out RB Wild Promise to a massive upset at Mahoning Valley. Now, here's the problem. I taped this interview about a week and a half ago, and I wanted to have it and to play it before RB Wild Promise started again. He started yesterday.
Looking for some action? Well, if it's sports and casino action you're after, USRacing.com has got you covered. At USRacing.com, you can get the latest betting lines on pro and college football, basketball, and all the MLB and NHL action, too. Heck, you can even get the latest odds in the presidential race, the Academy Awards, or who's going to be the next James Bond. So if you're looking for some sports and casino action, look no further than USRacing.com, the place that's setting the pace.
I'm now joined by Casey Lauder. Casey has written for Lady at the Track. She writes for U.S. Racing. She writes for a ton of different places. How are you doing, Casey?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well. Now, I always like talking about, you know, people that get into horse racing and what gets them into it, or, you know, what the attraction is. I know you're younger. What was it for you that attracted you to horse racing?
Honestly, I'd grown up loving horses my whole life. And then in 2003, my dad came into the living room and he asked me if I'd ever heard of or seen the Kentucky Derby. And I looked at him and said, no, what is that? And so he turned on the Kentucky Derby for me. And it was about 5 minutes before Funnyside decided to, you know, go on and win the Kentucky Derby. And from then on, it was just, I got bit by the bug and it never went away.
Now, that's interesting, because I talked to a lot of people and, you know, they're bitten by actually going out to the track. But for you, it was just watching TV, huh?
Yeah, of course. I loved the fact it was just amazing to see how big the crowds were and the fandom of it. And it was just wow for me.
Well, how about your first trip to the track? Where was that and when was that?
My first trip to the track was actually an accident. I was headed to a concert in Cincinnati, and I parked in the wrong parking lot and ended up at the rail at River Downs. I know, totally unethical and totally just different from anybody else. Like, usually people's parents take them to the track. In mine, I ended up in the wrong parking lot.
That is classic. So I got to ask you, when did you realize that you were in the wrong parking lot and at the wrong locale?
When I looked down and saw the horses coming down the home stretch.
And then you realize it's not a concert. What was the concert you were going to?
I was actually going to a Day to Remember and Rise Again.
Okay.
Rock concert.
Very interesting. So did that just kind of solidify the love of racing? Was it a good experience, bad experience, or how did it go?
It did pretty much solidify it. Like, I didn't realize what adrenaline was until I felt the ground just pound from these horses running at 40 miles an hour. And it was just amazing.
Any favorite horses? You mentioned Funnyside. Any horses since then that you've kind of latched on to?
I've really latched on to horses like Zenyatta. I actually have a tattoo on my ankle with the Moss Silks in a heart.
Wow.
I do. And she was just poetry in motion for me.
You know, I've talked before to people about, you know, for me, horse racing and a lot of the stuff I'm interested in, I'm interested in numbers. And so it's kind of a different take for me. Do you get into the gambling part of it, or is that just kind of a sidelight? Is it more just the spectacle of the game?
it's more of a spectacle. Like, I am able to handicap. I'm not, you know, 100% with anything. And actually this weekend I did some, you know, handicapping and gambling, and I actually hit the Rachel Alexandra Stakes.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yes, it was a nice payout.
What is it about horse racing that is special from, you know, from other sports? Because I do think that this game has a very psychotic hold on people. I mean, sometimes I ask myself, like, why do you love horse racing? I mean, there's all these different sports. Why is horse racing such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal to you?
Horse racing is a big deal to me because it's not stagnant. Like, I can watch baseball and I can watch football, and it's interesting to me, but it's the same. And horse racing is has such a variant to it that really just grabs a hold. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now, it really I want to know and I want to understand it.
How'd you get started with Lady at the Track, Casey? Tell me a little bit about that.
I had befriended Trixie on Facebook, and I had followed Lady in the Track for a few months. And then I lost my job at a restaurant, and Trixie approached me and she goes, how do you feel about writing for me? And I automatically accepted, and I just said yes. And this is when I really figured out I want to be in this industry as, you know, a journalist or a photographer. And it's really grabbed a hold in the last like year and a half, what I really want to do.
How do you think the sport can better attract females? Obviously, Lady in the Track, that's kind of the idea, is to get more women involved. I've actually seen the demographics, and I think it's pretty split. But how do you think that racing can attract not only female fans, but younger fans? Because that's always, you know, one of those demographics that racing is forever coveting.
Of course. I do notice that, like, when I go to the tracks, you see a huge divide between, you know, the older generation and generation like my age. I'm 22 years old. And my generation is more into the fashion and the partying. But that is a huge part of this sport. It is glamour. And I think that even if I don't focus on, like, the fashion and the money part of it, it needs to be addressed. And you don't need to be rich to love this sport. And I think a lot of people see it that way.
One of the things that I noticed, I think it was the Kentucky Derby. Now I'm going to forget the names. Who are the figure skaters? It's Tara Lipinski. What's the other guy? Johnny Weir,
and
right? Yeah.
Johnny Wheeler?
I think it's Weir is the last name. But
Weir.
Now, I'm one that I try to be, because I think that with a lot of older fans, there's too much impatience with younger fans, or if they're not into betting and they're into the horses, there's some angst there. I didn't like the Tara Lipinski, Johnny Weir segment, but I'm curious what you thought. Do you think that does bring in a different demographic? It brings in the younger fans.
I mean, honestly, I didn't know who those two people were until they started working with NBC and the Kentucky Derby. I think it's good for the people that know who they are, but on the same factor, like, my dad quit watching that part of the NBC sports coverage because he doesn't like those people.
Yeah,
and my dad's in the demographic of like 50 and over.
Yeah, and I try not, because it's there's a point, like, I'm good with the fashion and I'm good with all kinds of different, you know, people watching and so forth. It just didn't seem to fit. It was almost like, you know, well, I kind of feel that way about the Super Bowl, to be honest. It's like, you know, I know a lot of people get into the commercials, the halftime show and that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of the opposite as being older. It's like, I don't want to see, you know, Bruce Springsteen in pants that are way too tight for him, you know, singing at halftime. It's just not my thing. How would be a good way to get younger fans involved? Maybe not going, you know, quite so far as Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski.
I really think it's just making them understand what the sport's all about. It's not, for my generation, it's most likely not all about the horses. And that's kind of something I think needs to be addressed. Like, yeah, it's about the fashion and it's about the glamour. When I went to the Derby, there was a lot of coverage on the red carpet because you got up and close with the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And the celebrities actually have like a good take on what the sport's about. And I think they could be very useful in getting my generation into the sport.
Now, you mentioned you want to be a racing journalist or be in the industry. What capacity? I mean, would you want to be, like, you know, one of the people that's talking about the horses in front of the camera? You want to be behind the scenes? What's your ultimate goals?
I could go either way. Like, I'm not exactly the person that would love to be in front of the camera, but I love to talk about the sport, and I could do it all day long. And I love to analyze the races, and I love to do that kind of stuff. TVG does really good job of having guests on their show. My biggest thing, like, I love the photography part of it, and I love the track photography. Like, Barbara Livingston is, like, my ultimate goal. I just want to be her. She's just, that is my main inspiration.
All right, well, we're at that point of the show, Casey. It is the random question segment.
That's so random.
You want answers?
What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how.
Lucy, why don't you answer me?
You're not a eunuch, are you?
What do you all know about death?
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Is it true that you're in the middle of a nervous breakdown?
Who said that?
Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
All right, just got 2 to 3 random questions for you, and these literally are random, just right off the internet. Some of them make no sense whatsoever. But the very first question is, do you like your own name?
No, I don't, actually.
And actually, I got to do a follow-up. Why not?
It's my name.
Why don't you like it?
My parents had a few other options, and I just kind of like them better.
All right, here we go. Would you rather live in Antarctica or live in the desert?
I would rather live in Antarctica.
Really?
I love penguins.
See, you have great reasons for this. Like, I'm immediately thinking climate, you're thinking penguins. Okay.
I am thinking penguins.
Third and final random question. Why is applying for a job easier than online dating?
Because you can be somebody else. You can really portray yourself as somebody else.
In online dating or on a job?
On the job. If you do that online, then for dating, it's kind of looked down upon.
I think it's done a lot, though. Anyway, I appreciate very much you being on the show. Tell folks, obviously, you're writing it at US Racing, so usracing.com, one of the sites. Tell folks how they can access some of your other work.
I do have a personal blog. It's called A World Full of Furlongs. And I have a photography site called Casey Lauder Photography.
Very good. So nice to talk to you, Casey. Come back again.
Of course. Thank you, Derek.
Looking for some action? Well, if it's sports and casino action you're after, USRacing.com has got you covered. At USRacing.com, you can get the latest betting lines on pro and college football, basketball, and all the MLB and NHL action, too. Heck, you can even get the latest odds in the presidential race, the Academy Awards, or who's going to be the next James Bond. Clue, it's probably not going to be P. Diddy, but he's on the list of betting options. And if you're a racing fan like me, you'll love the daily menu and special prop bets. Thoroughbred racing, check. International racing, check. Greyhound racing, check. Harness racing, check. Generous rebates, checkmate. USRacing.com also has a wide variety of casino games as well. So if you're looking for some sports and casino action, look no further than USRacing.com, the place that's setting the pace.
Now, back to your host, while he's still sober, here's Derek.
I'm now joined by Gwen Crosser. Gwen came to my attention on December 28, 2015, when a horse that she trains, the only horse that she trains and owns, RB Wild Promise, won and paid $415.20, the highest price ever at Mahoning Valley. Welcome to the program, Gwen.
Hello.
Got to ask you, I know that RB Wild Promise is the only horse that you own and train. First of all, what is your background in racing, and how did this purchase or this acquisition of RB Wild Promise come about?
Well, I've been in racing since I was little. My grandpa used to be a jockey, and I the last couple of years I've ponied at Mountaineer in Chester, West Virginia, and one of the trainers that I pony for, he had the horse, and he asked me if I wanted the horse, so I took him, and so, yeah.
Now, how did you get, because it's, whenever you see a horse like that, now, obviously, I think, 206-1, and you talked about this after the race, probably a little bit too high on this horse, but it's not like the horse's form had been great before you took over. What was it that changed? I mean, did the horse get better, or was it just simply a weak field? What's your opinion as to why you were able to win at such a big price with RB Wild Promise?
Well, He had been training really good, and I mean, he wasn't running all too terrible. I mean, he wasn't hitting the board, but I mean, he had been improving races, and just he was getting more comfortable with himself. Cause, and I mean, it helps a big lot that my rider Luciano, he fits the horse very well, and he got to know the horse very well. So
I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask about that, Gwen, because since that race, he has not been aboard. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of a miscommunication between the jockey and the rider and myself. I mean, the trainer and the agent. And so, I mean, the other trainer that he rides for, I mean, he's got more horses. And, I mean,
sure.
kind of obligated to take the mount that he rides 10 horses instead of just one.
Yeah. Well, let me ask a little bit about the training, because you have an opportunity here to fill me in on something that has puzzled me for years. And that is, when I look at some of these cheaper tracks like Mahoning Valley, a lot of times I don't see anything on the workout tab. Now, you talked about how RB Wild Promise was training well, but the last recorded work on this horse that I see, I assume under your care, was November 17th. What does that mean? You know, as a guy who, you know, bets the races and plays the races, why am I not seeing more workouts on the workout tab? And I see that a lot at these kinds of tracks.
He had actually worked again on the 15th of December, but I don't know what happened with the rework. I don't know if she missed it. They missed it whenever he worked, or what happened. But because he worked 3/8 on the. Yeah, I believe it was the 15th, the 17th.
Interesting. Now, is there a reason why horses like this, obviously when you're talking about the cheap claiming game and some of these older horses, although RB Wild Promise is only 5, but, you know, physical problems in a lot of cases, is there a reason that he's not out on the track more? Because even if you accept the fact, well, I do accept the fact because you just told me that he worked out on the 17th, I still don't see a lot of works on the work tab. Obviously, you haven't owned him that long. But is there a reason that horses like this aren't worked more often?
Well, I mean, him, RB in particular, when he's at the racetrack, he's a very excitable, nervous horse. So I just keep him at the farm and bring him into work and into race. And, I mean, whenever he's there, he never settles down.
Right. What kind of training do you do outside of just, you know, straight workouts? You know, what's the gallop procedure? What else are you doing with him?
Out at the farm, we got a Eurosider, and there's a swimming pool. So.
Okay.
And he likes the Eurosider very well.
Now, given your success with this one horse, and I got to tell you, you know, when I print up the past performances, I've got, you know, the different ROIs for, you know, trainers for, you know, claiming races, sprints, all this kind of stuff. It's just funny looking at the ROI for you, because it's like 2,800%, you know, just through the roof. Do you have any plans on getting more horses? And I assume right now it's just, you know, you training for yourself, but any thought of taking on clients?
I had a couple people call me, ask me if they wanted if I wanted to buy a horse from them. But, I mean, it's just right now, I mean, I'll probably look for a horse here in the spring or midsummer.
Very good. Well, we're at that point now. It is the random question segment.
That's so random.
You want answers?
What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how.
Lucy, why don't you answer me?
You're not a eunuch, are you?
You all know about death.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Is it true that you're in the middle of a nervous breakdown?
Who said that? Why do you say you feel trapped in a man's body?
All right, Gwen, these are questions just straight off the internet. Some of them make no sense whatsoever, but it's just kind of a fun thing to do. So your question, your first question, if you could learn to do anything, what would it be?
I don't know. I don't know, really.
All right.
I always wanted to ride horses, and I mean, that's what I'm doing.
So. And you've done that.
I guess I've already learned it.
All right, very good. All right, here's a good one. What is your favorite thing about yourself?
I have to say my love for horses.
Very nice. All right, last random question, and this is a long one, so I don't know if this is even going to make any sense at all, because I haven't read it yet. If life and death are the same state of living, because death is life without your conscious working, what is your actual state of living? Take that one if you want to, Gwen. I don't know.
I couldn't hardly understand what you're saying.
Yeah, neither could I. So we'll just leave it at that. Hey, I want to thank you very much for being on the program. Wish you continued success, and hopefully we can have you on again soon.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Gwen.